This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Wednesday's headlines. And yes, the fierce activity up on Capitol Hill is still on the House side as both Republicans and Democrats try to get to that magic number of 216, the majority needed to either kill or approve the president's version of health care reform legislation. At issue, of course, is the Senate version of the bill, which most Democrats don't like, but the president and Democratic leaders say it's the best vehicle for getting what they want. All 178 Republicans are staunchly against the bill at this point, so it's up to the Democratic leaders to make sure they don't let too many of their moderate members peel off. And right now, that seems to be a very difficult effort. According to one source, the number now opposed to the bill is at 205, with many sources saying the number in favor of the bill might not even be at 200 just yet. So still a number of undecided Democrats out there, but that number is now one fewer. That's because liberal Ohio Democratic Congressman Dennis Kucinich, who had been a no vote on the original bill and was up till very recently a no vote on this bill because it didn't go far enough towards a government-run healthcare system, says he's now switching his vote. But Kucinich made it clear in his early part of his statement that he still hates this bill.
I have doubts about the bill. I do not think it is a step toward anything I've supported in the past. This is not the bill I wanted to support, even as I continue efforts until the last minute to try to modify the bill.
And in literally the next breath?
However, after careful discussions with President Obama, Speaker Pelosi, my wife Elizabeth, and close friends, I've decided to cast a vote in favor of the legislation.
Clearly a little bit of arm-twisting helped. You may remember that Kucinich was aboard Air Force One on Monday when President Obama went to Strongsville, Ohio for his last town hall campaign rally type event in order to try and drum up enough votes to push his version of health care reform over the finish line. Obvious in his statement today, Kucinich did not like the bill on the floor, but he later went on to say that he didn't want to be the one who stopped the process from beginning that he hopes will eventually lead to his version of health care reform. So what happens now? Obviously, one vote doesn't make the difference. Some Democrats see this as the tip of the iceberg, though, for more Democrats to jump on board the yes side of this vote. Others say and a liberal like Kucinich getting on board could drive the moderates away. Either way, we still don't know whether or not the Democrats have the votes, and that's why we're hearing all these stories about the so-called deem and pass strategy, which would allow Democrats to officially be voting on language for the follow-up bill to fix the problems in the current legislation, and by approving that, deeming the Senate version of legislation approved. However, there are a number of constitutional scholars saying that this will be the source of a court challenge if it even passes, and that there is a credible ground for declaring this unconstitutional. So even if there is a yes vote, there could be a long way to go on this. But why the delay right now? Why are so many Democrats still undecided? Well, according to Louisiana Congressman John Fleming, a practicing physician who spoke with me on Wednesday, he says it's because the Democratic leaders are scratching their heads trying to figure out how to get a good score on the changes from the Congressional Budget Office.
That was supposed to have been out latest on Monday, and that, I suspect what's happening is that they keep throwing it back to the CBO, finding out ways to manipulate, twist, and get the numbers down where they at least look decent, even though we know that they're truly smoke and mirrors.
Of course, we're now down to days and hours as President Obama was supposed to head to Asia tomorrow. Now he's pushed that back to Sunday. However, according to Congressman Fleming, the deadline isn't this weekend. He says the real do-or-die date is March 26th.
We really think that the true hard date on this will be March 26th, which would be the beginning of the Easter recess. If they don't have the votes this weekend, they'll start back on it next week and hopefully try to get it before we're released for recess, because I guarantee you, when the Democrats go back to their districts, they're going to get an earful about this, whether it's been passed or not.
One good sign for opponents of this legislation is that Michigan Democratic Congressman Bart Stupak says he's got about 13 votes that don't seem to be wavering right now, pro-life Democrats who would be voting for the bill if it did not include taxpayer-funded abortion. Stupak says he does not see any of these members peeling off towards the end of this arm-twisting effort on the part of Democratic leaders, but he says it's always possible that if they're just one or two votes away, the pressure could be too much to handle. Meanwhile, some of the facts and figures also working against the president's position on this issue. Today, the Kaiser Family Foundation releasing a report saying that the president's claim that health care premiums would be reduced under his plan, simply not true. The Kaiser Foundation says that there are certain pieces of reform, as well as in the Republican plan, that would hopefully keep premiums from going up as fast as they have been, but the idea of premiums actually going down would be miraculous. Also, the savings for businesses that the president talked about on Monday would not nearly be as significant as he led his audience in Ohio to believe. Also today, the state treasurer for the state of Massachusetts, the one state in this country that has a mandatory health insurance, says that program's a failure. The state is running huge deficits because most people, as we've seen in other situations, are grabbing on to the government-sponsored health care legislation have not gone the private insurance route. And so there are very few new people signing up on private insurance rolls, and the deficits for the state are huge. Also, a new study from the Beacon Hill Institute in conjunction with Americans for Tax Reform points out that they believe if the president's plan goes through as is, not taking into account some of what they call accounting gimmicks, the economy by the year 2019 could shed 700,000 jobs. Left-leaning organizations strongly dispute that, saying it could actually create as many as 400,000 jobs. Onto the world stage now, and in a story basically ignored by the media because of all the commotion over healthcare reform, General David Petraeus, head of U.S. Central Command, was in Washington over the last couple of days talking with the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, had some very interesting things to say about Iran, saying, first of all, the ties are coming clear and clear between Iran and al-Qaeda. He also says Iran is suffering setbacks in its efforts to develop nuclear weapons. Much more on that tomorrow when we talk with retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash. As for the interview front today, you can catch my full interview with Louisiana Congressman John Fleming, as well as my discussion with Ryan Ellis of Americans for Tax Reform about the impact of the Obama health plan on the job situation in this country. Also there, you can hear my interview with Mary Harnett of Americans United for Life about their ad campaign, trying to make sure pro-life Democrats vote against the health care proposal. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.